Well, it's an exciting thing for me to be able to introduce who's going to share with us this morning. And you've met him before, but I just wanted to say something quickly. When we started Friends Church a number of years back, now 16 years ago, we always had a vision to be able to build a safe place for people who come from a place where they're just saying, I don't think I really fit church. And what it takes to build a community like that, and the things that have to change, the certain things that you have to let go of in order to build a place that truly is safe for people that sit on the margins, the people on the outside that are going, a little nervous, a little scary place. I want to connect with God, but I'm not sure about the institution. To build a safe place has been a huge learning curve. And early on, I met Tom, who had the same kind of heart, same kind of vision. He was just like, man, there's got to be a way to do church that would welcome people. And so over the years, Tom and I, we stayed in touch. We've always talked shop. When we get together, we compare notes. We go, what are you learning? What are you doing? He always was a guy that made me smarter and better and gave and invested in us. In fact, Friends Church is here largely because of his influence early on. And so it's a great privilege for me to be able to welcome Tom back, to be able to share this morning to our community, giving us a break, our teaching team a break. And Tom, love you, man. And I'm just glad you're here. Can we welcome? All right. Awesome.
Good to be with you this morning. And I just want to reciprocate back to Jeff and just say huge thank you to Jeff and to Friends Church, both for the encouragement and also for the support to help us get launched with our new community, Emerge Church, and our band is part of that. We did kind of it was supposed to be a 7-week launch and ended up being 6 weeks because of the flood. And for anybody who was affected by the flood, our thoughts are with you, and I know that that's been a challenging time for us as a city. But it's cool. I was just driving up Elbow Drive and through Mission. At the end of Mission, there was a kind of a hand-painted sign that said, thanks to all the volunteers. And it's really the trade in my sorrows, right? It's that whole redemptive piece that in the midst of tragedy, it's the opportunity. And so that's really what I want to talk about this morning. The theme right now that Friends Church is in is this whole idea of spiritual mentors. And so I've been asked to pick a mentor, which is kind of, how do you pick somebody? It's kind of like, you know, spin the globe and drop your finger on a spot and figure that out. But I have been drawn over the years to authors and writers that really dive into the whole inner spiritual life and journey. And recently I'm reading with our Bible study group that I've been part of, we've been reading Richard Rohr, who's a Catholic priest and brilliant writer. One of the best, I would say it's the best book I've ever read because it's the latest one that I'm actually diving into, but it feels like it, you know, right now. But as I was looking through that, I was drawn back to someone who I want to talk about this morning because it really captures, I think, a principle of life that we can all take a look at this morning, and that's Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen he was born in 1936 and died in 1996, and he wrote about 40 books throughout his lifetime. The better ones were the ones that he wrote kind of post-journey. He went on an amazing spiritual journey in 1986. And what happened was, and this is some of the background data that, how many of you are familiar with Henry Nouwen? Let me just kind of get a read. Okay, we've got a handful. He really, in terms of influence, back in the 80s, there was a survey taken, I don't know who takes these surveys, but next to Billy Graham, he was the most influential person in Christendom. That was kind of, I don't know how they rate that, but well known. And he had risen to prominence and became, in terms of his journey, he became the chaplain at Harvard Divinity School, which is kind of the apex of intelligentsia, and he was lecturing at all of the major universities on spirituality and spiritual formation and spiritual direction. And he lectured at Yale and all the various institutions around North America and worldwide. And in the midst of that, he, in his own writings, really felt like he was out of place. In that place, he'd risen to the kind of the apex of his career, been successful, and by all outward appearances, had arrived at that pinnacle of his career. And in that time, there was a gentleman who was called Jean Vanier, who was the son of a governor general here in Canada. And Jean Vanier had started a community called the L'Arche Community. How many are familiar with L'Arche? A couple of you. L'Arche Community is a sport community for people that are physically and mentally challenged. And he had started it in Tolstoy, France. And I remember reading Jean Vanier's book called Becoming Human or Being Human. And I was so moved by the book, I picked up the phone and called him in Tolstoy, France. It was just kind of one of those weird moments that I had and kind of chatted and told him, just said, thank you for that book. It was a life changer. And I was reading it early in the morning. It just threw tears and just really moved my heart. And it was interesting. Jean Vanier had come to visit Henri Nouwen. And he knocked on his door, and he said, Henri Nouwen opened the door, and there's Jean Vanier standing there. He didn't know him. And Jean Vanier, here's how he introduces himself. This is kind of freaky out. And Jean Vanier says, I've come to pray with you. And Henri Nouwen didn't really know how to respond to that, and kind of was dumbfounded, just kind of left him on the front doorstep. And Jean Vanier says, well, you can invite me in. And so he did. And what happened was Jean Vanier came in and spent a week with him and didn't say a word to him for a whole week. All he did was he would cook for him and clean for him and serve him while he was doing what he was doing and prayed in the place that he lived. Just kind of moved in for a week. And as Henri Nouwen kind of reported it, it was like, it was weird. But that week changed his life, because at the end of that week, Jean Vanier invited Henri Nouwen, and he said, I want to extend an invitation to you to come and to join us at the L'Arche Community. And that began a very difficult and very introspective journey for Henri Nouwen, where he was invited from the brightest minds to people with no minds, people who in some ways were almost in a vegetative state, and severely challenged, question marks as to what level of thought they had. And he was invited to take care of a young man called Adam at the L'Arche Community in Toronto called Daybreak. And he writes about this in his book called Journey to Daybreak. And it's just a fascinating journey where someone who has got everything on the outside is invited by God to leave it and go from a place of renown and prominence and a place where you seem to have everything on the outside to go to a place of obscurity and quiet where it just didn't have all of the prestige. Journey from, if you like, the egocentric piece, even in spirituality, even though you're a well-known author, even though you've made it to the top, still ego can lurk there. And as Henri Nouwen describes it, it was a journey of letting go. And he said when he finally made it to Daybreak in Toronto, and these are his words, he says, I found that I had found my way home. What a profound thought. That sometimes you have to let go of success and outward accolades and the outward trimmings of life to find your way home. Now, let's face it, I think for all of us, I know certainly in my journey, it's really about finding my way home. How do you know you're home? Henri Nouwen would tell you that you find your way home because you find a place where you are beloved. And the books that he wrote after, post-trip to Daybreak, have this profound sense of clarity in terms of the spiritual life. It's not about all the outward stuff. It's really about the inward journey and finding your way home here. How long does it take us so that we are comfortable with self? The journey home is the journey inward. The journey home is the journey to find yourself and be okay with you. to be able to embrace all of you. Now, most of us selectively disclose what we let other people know about us, right? It's like when you go on a first date, the first date, you selectively let the person you're dating or attempting to date know the good stuff. No way you're letting them know the bad stuff, because the purpose of the first date is to get a second one. And you don't stand a chance of getting a second one if you let them in, right? Because you know what a schmuck you are. Isn't that basically it? And yet the journey home is the journey where we find a place of vulnerability where we are okay with all of us, the light side of us and the dark side of us, the light and the shadow. Now, that video that we began with today is profound in the sense that it says that when the sun is behind us, it casts a shadow in front of us, but when you turn to face the sun, which is a brilliant metaphor, we're able then to see the shadow behind us. And it's really about embracing all of that that Henry Nouwen demonstrated in that journey away from Harvard. It reminds me a little bit of Abraham in the Old Testament. And there's a couple of verses that are kind of odd, but in the last part of chapter 11 of Genesis, the story is told of this journey that Abraham's family and father went on. And they're leaving the ancient city of Babylon in that area of prosperity, of having everything. And there is this call to go to the land of Canaan, or this different land. And as they go on this journey, they find this really cool place, Haran, to hang out. And his father, his grandfather, settled down in this beautiful location. But it wasn't the ultimate destination of where they were headed. And they ended up staying there for like 75 years. It was like this kind of diversion. You ever get diverted? You ever find yourself going down a rabbit hole that you're kind of going, oops, and you get stuck there? And it's comfortable, and it's nice, and it's inviting, and it's got all of the comforts of home, and you end up settling there. And that's what happened to Abraham's family. And in the midst of that, at the beginning of chapter 12, is a great line where it's funny how the Bible has a lot of just great lines. and God speaks to Abraham and said, listen, I want you to leave where you are and go to the place I'm going to show you. Now, if I was Abraham, I'm going, a little bit more than just that. I like to know where I'm going. I like to know where the bus is going. But it's not. There's this beautiful piece where it's almost like God's cut off mid-sentence and he's going, okay, just leave where you are and I'll show you when you get there. It's an interesting call, isn't it? It's an interesting invitation of the unknown. We like certainty in our lives. And the spiritual journey is not all about certainty. Sometimes it's about uncertainty. Or maybe I could replace the word uncertainty with the word faith. So Hebrews 11 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance that the things we cannot see. So we get this assurance about stuff we can't see. We don't know. And that's the invitation in terms of the spiritual journey. And when Henry Nouwen left Harvard and ended up at the L'Arche community in Toronto, it's interesting because it was there that he then suffered some of the most painful part of his life. So sometimes, and it's interesting to me that as I've read his writings, that it's not about, how do I put it? When you're obedient to God's call, and that's what he felt the invitation to the L'Arche community, when you respond to that, one would then think everything goes great. But sometimes God's call leads you into some of the most difficult pieces and the difficult portion of your journey. And so that's when we start questioning stuff, because it's like, oh, I didn't see this coming. I didn't think that this is what I signed up for. You know, when God calls you to go to a different place and he's going, really? Because you've just gone through this whole piece of letting go. And how many of you know it's tough to let go? How many of you know that's just difficult? One of my favorite quotes about that is, it's hard to let go of what's almost working. right? It's almost working out, and it's too good to leave, too bad to stay. And we get this kind of eternal stuckness. And being stuck is okay, by the way, because it's the precursor to being unstuck. And in that moment when you do let go, right? Well, let's try this. I'll tell you what. Do this for me. Just take your right hand for a moment. Okay? Take your right hand and make a fist. Clench it really, really tight, like really tight, like white knuckle tight. Okay, on the count of three, what I want you to do is I want you just to let go, like open your hand. Okay, ready? One, two, three. And just look at your hand. Now, what took more energy? That or that? Clenching your fist. It's a great metaphor. And a lot of times we're white knuckling it with our spirituality. We're hanging on to what's almost working. And we're looking at all the benefits. It might be a job. It might be a relationship. It might be a location. It might all kinds of fill in the blank. But as soon as you let go, what happens? You enter into space. You enter into emptiness. Not a word that we often associate with spirituality, emptiness. Or another way of saying it might be like a clearing. You create a clearing. And a clearing, an emptiness, a space allows, it's a beautiful place that gives God space to move. Somebody used the phrase to me the other day. They were talking about being in a relationship with somebody. And they were describing the relationship. And they said, this person has a busy heart. It really hit me. I thought, wow. I have a busy heart. It pulled all over the place. And as I came away from that, I thought, I just looked at my own heart and I thought, wow, what kind of heart do I have? And I was really preparing for this morning and I really said, God, that's the invitation to have space. To allow some of the clutter to go. You ever gone through the process of moving? And you go through stuff that's been accumulating for a while? And you move and you've got boxes of stuff that you haven't opened for a while. You've even forgotten the box was there and you forgot what was in there and you open it up and you go, really? You know, you've got, you're 50 and you've still got baby clothes. Now, I know you could quote scripture and say, well, Sarah was 99, so I'm going, okay. But why do we carry it? Why do we accumulate? And metaphorically, the same thing happens in our spiritual life, that we can accumulate junk, shame, regret, stuff. We bring the past into our moments right now. And in doing that, we clutter up the moment. And we're not free to live in that moment. So we end up living in the past or we end up living in the future. But we're not here in the moment because it's so cluttered. And that's what I like about the invitation that Henry Nouwen responded to, was that he had to let go. He went on this amazing journey. And then into that amazing journey, shortly into that, he ended up in a relationship. Now, as a Catholic priest, that's problematic. It's an interesting piece of his journey, because in that relationship, it ended, and after about 8 months, and there was no acting out or sexuality connected to the relationship, but emotionally it was very close, and it was what he'd been looking for, and the person that he had fallen in love with ended up leaving. And my spiritual director here in Calgary a number of years ago is the founder of the Henry Nouwen Foundation here in Canada. And told me some of the backstory of that particular part of his journey. And it was for Henry Nouwen one of the most painful pieces of his life, that 8 months. And he wrote a very private journal in the mid-80s about that relationship and the loss of that relationship. Never intending it to be published. And one of his close friends invited him about 8 years later when he was looking back through his journal that maybe he would allow people that view into his life. And he ended up writing this book called The Inner Voice of Love, A Journey Through Anguish to Freedom. And it's one of the most profound reads that you ever want to have in terms of listening to a spiritual mentor. And I want to read just a brief chapter. And there are kind of, if you like, principles that are in here, spiritual touch points that he writes about the losing of this relationship. Because we would think that when you leave prestige and Harvard and you go to L'Arche, then that would be a place of bounty and blessing and so many good things. You would think. But you wouldn't think that it leads you to this really painful crucible that you then have to walk through. And that is indeed what happened. And he writes this, it's just like a page and a bit, so just stay with me, okay? Because I know reading shouldn't do that, and teach you that in homiletics 101. Don't read. Okay. Too bad. The title is called Know Yourself as Truly Loved. So listen to what he writes. Some people have lived such oppressed lives that their true selves have become completely unreachable to them. They need help to break through their oppression. Their power to free themselves has to be at least as strong as the power that keeps them down. Sometimes they need permission to explode, to let out their deepest emotions, to shake off the alien forces. Screaming, yelling, crying, and even physical fighting might be expressions of liberation. You, however, do not seem to need such explosion for you. The problem is not to get something out of your system, but to take something in that deepens and strengthens your sense of your goodness and allows your anguish to be embraced by love. You will discover that the more you love, the more you can take in and hold on to, the less fearful you will become. You will speak more simply, more directly, and more freely about what's important to you without fear of other people's reactions. You will also use fewer words, trusting that you communicate your true self even when you do not speak much. The disciples of Jesus had a real sense of his loving presence as they went out to preach. They had seen him, eaten with him, spoken with him after his resurrection. They had come to live a deep connectedness with him and drew from that connectedness the strength to speak out with simplicity and directness, unafraid of being misunderstood or rejected. The more you come to know yourself, spirit, mind, and body, as truly loved, the freer you will be to proclaim the good news. That is the freedom of the children of God. Isn't that cool? The more you come to know yourself as truly loved, that in our brokenness, in the dark sides of us, in the rejection that we may feel through broken relationships, that's where we discover about ourselves. And it's that invitation that I think Henry Nouwen invites us all to, is to come back to a place where it's not outward, but it's inward. That, as Ephesians chapter 3 says, that we allow our heart to be Christ's home. That we invite, and in old evangelical language, we would say you invite Jesus into your heart, which is an odd phrase, really. Some of you may be familiar with phrases like, Jesus becomes my personal savior. It's just weird. It really is. When you think of it, it's kind of like saying to your wife, I'll receive you to be my personal dishwasher. It's like, it makes no sense whatsoever. The fact is that you ask Christ to make your heart his home. And that's where you come home to yourself. And in that coming home, and the ability and the strength and the courage to let go of where you are. And as I was getting ready for this, I was walking the dogs the other day, and I was just in prayer, and I had this deep sense this morning that those of us that are here, there are some of you right now that you're holding on to what almost works. And I'm reminded of the story of this young man who was caught And he was caught in a land. This is a bit of a fable. And in that land, he was wanting to get away, wanting to get out. And he was the prince of this land. And on his tunic, he wore this lizard. And his lizard had been with him for all of his life. And it was his best friend and his confidant. And yet the lizard had soiled his suit and had soiled his clothes, but it was with him all the time. And so the young man, wanting to be free, had sought out a spiritual mentor, and he went to the monk and he said, "How do I get out of this land?" And the monk said, "Very simple. Throw down your lizard. Throw down this which is soiling you." And he couldn't conceive of throwing down the lizard. It soiled his life. And in a moment of recklessness, he was tired of being bound, and he threw down the lizard, and the lizard was transformed into this white horse upon which he was able to mount and ride out. And this morning, there are some of you right now, you're caught in a way of being that has you trapped. And words like trapped and stuck resonate with you right now this morning. And the life of Henry Nouwen is an invitation, is a story that says it's okay to let go. And you know what you're stuck in. Maybe it's shame, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a job, who knows? And as you let go, as you throw down the lizard, it will transform. And into that empty space, God invites you to freedom, to the freedom of being at home within. I'd like to do two things as we bring our time together to a close. I'd like to invite the band to come back, and I wanted to sing this song as we go out, Trading My Sorrows, because I think it's fun to sing. But the message is very powerful. And as we trade our sorrows, and whatever you put into that word sorrows, right? The joy comes in the morning and invites you then to an amazing opportunity. Not ease. It may actually be quite painful, as it was for Henry Nouwen. But at the end of that 8-month period of the broken relationship, the writing that came out of that man is amazing. I invite you to read some of his books post-1986. The other thing I'd like to do is to pray with you. Would you stand with me? God, you are good, and we, this morning in community, thank you for a safe place to just talk about real stuff and our journeys that at times are difficult, God, because they do get cluttered. And for those this morning that have busy hearts that are cluttered with stuff, that is creating this fog in front of them that they don't know what's next. Lord, I pray as you spoke to Abraham many years ago to leave where we are, to go to where you will show us. And in that place, God, we are blessed. And we have the opportunity to bless others. And the more, God, we come home to ourselves in our relationship with you, the more we are able to be like Jesus to our world. And take your love and your grace and your goodness to those that are around us. God, I thank you for Friends Church. I really do. I thank you for the light they are to this community. I thank you for Jeff and Vince and all the leadership and their passion to minister to this world. God, we bless them. We bless all of Friends Church today. And we ask, God, that you would empower us to live like Jesus in our world today. That we will take the love and the grace of who you are to those that our lives have the opportunity to touch. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you say a big amen? Yeah.